Welcome to Midpoint. I'm Shelley Reback, and I'm here with
Janet Scherberger.
And Ms. Patty Perkey is taking your phone calls for us today. Our guests today are Mariella Smith, Hillsborough County Commissioner, elected countywide and just finishing her first term on the board and running for re-election. Welcome, Mariella.
So happy to be here. Hello.
Great. And on the phone with us is Charlie Justice, Pinellas County Commissioner, also elected countywide and finishing, I believe, his second term on the Pinellas County Commission. Welcome, Charlie.
Hey, good morning. Glad to be with you all this morning.
Terrific. Well, we've invited Mariella and Charlie to join us today to talk about water issues in our region. We have a lot of challenges around the water issues. Mariella serves on the Tampa Bay Water Board, and Charlie serves on the Tampa Bay Estuary Board and the Pinellas Stormwater Wastewater Task Force. So both of these public servants are deeply involved in protecting our local waters and ensuring that adequate water is available for our residents for safe drinking and recreation. This has been a really tough year for our waters in this region. Florida is a peninsula surrounded by water and beaches on three sides. We have an abundance of freshwater rivers and springs throughout the state, too. But right now, it feels like all of our water resources are really under siege. Our waters are threatened by the effects of the climate crisis. I don't even call it climate change anymore because the climate change is already here and it is now a full-blown climate crisis. And our waters are affected by monumentally bad decision-making by past political leadership and by dangerous business practices and negligent oversight, like all of those factors that caused the Piney Point disaster this spring, where a long dormant phosphate plant leaked some 200 million gallons of nitrogen-rich, possibly radioactive, wastewater into Tampa Bay. We're left with even more red tide, fouling our beautiful beaches and killing our fish, our manatees, and our aquaculture, not to mention leaving us with noxious air quality for humans, particularly in Pinellas County this year. In Hillsborough, sprawl, overdevelopment, and underfunding in our South County has left us without the water infrastructure necessary to adequately serve all of the people living there in the new housing developments with their water for drinking, showers, and irrigation. If we continue to lose water pressure there, pretty soon the residents will be under a boil water notice, not just occasionally, but always, at least until our water infrastructure can catch up to the needs presented by sprawling development. So we've got water, water everywhere. But is it safe to drink, to swim, to shower? If you've been experiencing problems with the water lately, or you've been confronted with red tide effects at the beach, let us hear from you at 813-239-9663 or email us at dj@wmnf.org. So let's start with the red tide problem. We know that red tide is a regular occurrence in Florida, but has there been a Piney Point effect? This spring, the Piney Point phosphate stack spilled some 200 million gallons of wastewater into the bay. How did that affect the red tide we are dealing with now? Let's hear from an expert on this. This is David Tomasco, Executive Director of the Sarasota Bay Estuary Program, who says this year ranks up there with the terrible 2018 red tide in terms of how bad it is for the health of the bay. Let's hear from him.
Well, not only was this 200 tons, it was 200 tons of the most biologically active form of nitrogen. So it's a very different nitrogen load than what comes out of our rivers. It's a very different load than what comes out of the sky. It's a high concentration in a short period of time of the most volatile nitrogen load that you can have. So we're really underestimating its importance when we compare it to nutrient loads and nutrient concentration. It was the worst type of nitrogen load that you could bring during a time period where the water was clearer and getting warmer and it was salty. So it was really all these things. So we're really working with, one of the reasons why it's hard for us to predict what's happening is because we've never had a load like this delivered in this magnitude. So just keep that in mind. Not all nitrogen loads are the same. This was the worst type of nitrogen load.
Oh, wow. So that was pretty scary. Charlie Justice, Pinellas County Commissioner, please talk to us about the red tide problem in Pinellas. Do you think it's worse this year? How do you think it happened to get so bad? And what can we do about it?
How much time do we have?
well, you could give us a start.
As you just heard, we had 200 tons of nitrogen pumped in from the Piney Point release. And that is, and not even talking about, as you just heard, the severity of the different types of nitrogen, but that's the equivalent of a nitrogen load for an entire year into our bay. We got it in 10 days. So that kind of impact can't be overstated. And so, you know, where you may not be able to trace the exact nitrogen particle from the Piney Point plant to your dead fish that you pick up and analyze, but obviously there's a connection. You don't release that kind of damage in and not have the impact. Now, comparatively to 2018, it's a little bit different as far as where we're seeing the the death of the sea life and where we're seeing those impacts. You know, this year we're, I think the latest number I have is nearly 1,700 tons of dead fish we've collected during this last couple weeks. And
1,700 tons. Now, I saw Ben Montgomery did an Axios piece that said 1,700 tons of dead fish is about like a third of the way up the beer can building in downtown Tampa, if you were measuring it. A crazy, crazy amount of dead fish.
It's really, yeah, you can't overstate. I mean, we've had, about 20 or 30 boats working constantly to go through. And part of the difference is that this year versus 18, whereas 18, a lot of it was offshore, and we were able to go out and kind of collect it before it really rolled into the bay. Yes, we've got and I can't say this enough, we have an incredible team here at Pinellas County led by Kelly Levy, who jumps at this and responds very quickly. But this year, because of the storm Elsa, it pushed the water into the bay, and we're seeing the fish collect more, and certainly on the Pinellas side, much more on our East Coast in St. Petersburg, in all our little bayous and channels, Coffee Pot Bayou, and everything along Riviera, all the way up in there. And one, that's right in people's backyards, so they certainly notice and smell it more. But two, it's much more difficult. It takes much more manual labor to go through there and get the fish out. When it's out on the Gulf side, we can sweep through with the shrimp boats a little bit easier, so the collection goes a little bit easier. So this is more of a challenge as far as seeing that the impacts for people's personal lives, but also the collection. And that's important, too, because the dead fish contribute to the fueling of more red tide. So we need to collect it as fast as possible. So we're definitely seeing the impacts this year differently than we were in 2018.
I also don't recall in 2018 manatees dying. I don't remember that it was impacting the manatees the way it is this year.
I don't remember seeing those same kind of images that we're seeing this year. And obviously the loss of any of the sea life is sad, but when you do see a manatee or a dolphin, it kind of strikes your heart a little bit more.
Or those Goliath groupers I've seen,
yeah, we
too.
Had a Goliath grouper roll up in Lansing Park in southeast St. Petersburg. And, it's heartbreaking, those kind of impacts and those images. Certainly that's not what we want for our natural environment. It's certainly not what we want just in general.
So, Charlie Justice, Pinellas County Commissioner. Charlie, the mayor of St. Pete, Rick Kreisman, has been saying that the state isn't doing enough to help St. Pete, Pinellas County, and the other municipalities along the Gulf with the enormous cleanup efforts resulting from the fish kills associated with the red tide and algae blooms. But Governor DeSantis says he's done plenty. Let's hear from Governor DeSantis.
We've put an immense amount of resources, and just think, had we not done what I did to set the table for this when I first became governor, we wouldn't have been able to do half the stuff that we've been able to do.
Well, he's talking about doing a lot of stuff. I'm not sure what that is, but Mayor Kreisman has called for a declaration of a state of emergency over the red tide effects. Governor Santis has refused that, and Mayor Kreisman then accused DeSantis of politicizing his response by letting St. Pete, a notably Democratic stronghold, fend for itself. Let's hear what DeSantis says about that.
How did I politicize red tide? They were the ones who were saying, you've got to declare a state of emergency. And so we asked them why. Well, they didn't know why. They just wanted to do it for a political talking point.
So Charlie Justice, what is all this back and forth sniping between Crisman and DeSantis really getting us? Do we really need a declaration of emergency? Would that really supply St. Pete and Pinellas with more resources that you need to clean up the beaches in the bay? Or is it just an effort by an outgoing Democrat to score some political points on his way out the door against a Republican governor? Or is it a Republican governor punishing a Democratic critic and all of his mostly Democratic constituents? What's going on here?
Well, I think as most things in life, a lot of it can be chalked up to some miscommunication back and forth. I can tell you that we've been receiving funds from the state from the beginning. In 2018 there wasn't a funding source, an automatic funding source, and so Governor Scott declared a state of emergency, and we received somewhere between $5 and $7 million I think in 2018 to help us clean up red tide along the coast, and it was obviously a little different. It was multiple counties, more of a regional impact, I guess. But we have received, I think, close to $1 million so far. And the DEP, and I've talked with some of our local state legislators, that they've talked with state agencies that they're committed to funding the cleanup as well. We're just over the $2 million mark of what we've expended. And they've been reimbursing. So I think we've been reimbursed $1 million. I don't have the latest numbers on that. But we're at a burn rate. We were at a burn rate of about $115,000 a day. We were basically hiring every shrimp boat, every person with a skimmer that we could hire.
Is that the county or St. Pete?
County. And we had, and the difference also is the city of St. Pete, during the worst part of it, they had a lot of their city staff out there as well. So they were expending resources as far as shifting staff around and some of the equipment they were using. And then, again, I think once we got our communication a little bit better between the county and the city and the state agencies, we were able to get there and clean up. We were able to relieve some of the city staff with our contractors. So their spending went down. But, yeah, I don't want to get into the back and forth. The thing is, the county... Again, we have, after 2018, we developed a red tide tool, which people can find on our county website, that tells you everything we know about red tide and tells you how to track where the spots are if you want to go to the beach, those kind of things. We developed those kind of digital tools, and once it started to show up, I think in early June when we first started to document those low levels, our county staff has been out there ready to go, and then when we started to see the fish... We immediately turned our mechanism on, hired our contractors, got out there and cleaned the water up. I was out yesterday on down by the Tierra Verde area on the water, and there's still some remnants there, but it was nothing like it was just a few weeks ago. And we've stood down our contractors. We're doing individual cleanups, but we've stood down our massive cleanup operations.
So is it getting better?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We've still got a couple of spots today. I think the reading last night was a little bit at Treasure Island, a little bit at Reddington, a little bit of tidal impact at Passage Grill area, but nothing like what you saw just a week ago even.
Oh, good to know. Okay. Well, WMNF listeners, you've been listening to Midpoint with Shelley Rebeck and Janet Scherberger, and today we're talking about some of our water challenges in the region with our guest, Charlie Justice, Pinellas County Commissioner, and Mariella Smith, Hillsborough County Commissioner, both of whom are deeply involved in water issues in our region. If you've been feeling the effects of red tide and you'd like to join our conversation, give us a call at 813-239-9666. Or send us an email at dj@wmnf.org.
We do have a caller on the line right now, Bo from North Clearwater. Bo from North Clearwater, you're on the line. What's on your mind, Bo?
Yes, I just want to thank Mr. Justice for all his hard work. I know he cares about the county and has for years. Living in Clearwater, I'm so disheartened by the state of Florida. It's the parties that be are killing us. They're killing our fish. There's no seagrass for the manatees. They're spending $80 million in the city of Clearwater for a nice park, but I have to spend $30 a month on drinking water because my filthy water that comes out of my sink is so disgusting, I wouldn't even give it to my dog. What is wrong with this county? What is wrong with this state? It's ridiculous. I cannot wait till I can get my house cleared out and I can move out of this state.
Oh, my goodness. Bo, we'll miss you. I mean, you know, the other option, of course, is to stay and try to make things better. That's one of the things I know that Mariella Smith, who's our Hillsborough County Commissioner and a member of the Tampa Bay Water Board, which is a public utility agency that supplies wholesale drinking water to more than, 2.5 million people in Hillsborough, Pasco, and Pinellas County. So, Mariella, as a board member, you're an advocate for protecting the region's water supply, and that protection obviously has to include being a good steward of the environment. What do you have to say to Bo about his drinking water?
Well, I don't know about the drinking water in Pinellas County. I can assure you, if you move to Hillsborough County, we are doing everything we can to keep the drinking water that comes out of your kitchen tap clean. If we have very high standards here. I'm a customer myself, and I drink it right out of the tap.
Well, you know, Piney Point, we've been talking with Charlie Justice about the Piney Point disaster, and Piney Point is located in Hillsborough County. So one of the things I've wanted to ask you or someone from the county is, what's the county's responsibility, if any, to hold these phosphate companies responsible or accountable for the damage caused by these kinds of disasters, or better yet, for policing their practices so that these environmental disasters don't ever occur in the first place? What's the county's role there?
Well, thank you very much. I'm a county commissioner for Hillsborough County, countywide, a member of the Tampa Bay Water Board, as you mentioned, and also the chair of our county's Environmental Protection Commission. And in that role, I have asked the EPC staff to bring us back to our next meeting some reports about exactly what we can do to ensure that those disasters don't happen again and make things safer moving forward. I mean, I grew up here. I grew up here with phosphate spills on the Alafaya River most of my life from the previous phosphate companies. So it's something we've been living with, but something we need to do much better, and certainly in this case, hold that company financially responsible for the damage that they've done. And we are looking into that actually at the county commission level as well as the Environmental Protection Commission.
Yeah, because environmentalists, and I know you are one, but environmentalists have been saying that the precarious situation at Piney Point, it's not unusual with regard to phosphate industry generally, and that this disaster was totally foreseeable. They've been warning about that particular site and others like it for years. So how did the problems at that closed plant get so bad that on March 26th, the leak sprung at that phosphate and fertilizer plant that's been defunct since 2001? I mean, who's supposed to be minding the store, or should I say, who's supposed to be minding those gypsum stacks so that they didn't leak?
The state. The state of Florida took that over and should have closed it and was supposed to and planning to close it. And then they sold it to this a private company, HKR, and then they allowed that company to take dredge material from the bay at a profit to them and put it in these ponds that already had trouble with the liners holding water, and the liners failed under this extra load that the stacks were never designed to hold. And so to me, the responsibility lies squarely with the state for having done a poor job of overseeing that and making sure that was going to be safe in the long run. Now, There's a lot of nuance because Mosaic will tell you, I'm sure, when they come to us for their report that they're in a more modern, technologically improved era with their stacks, and they are not as in as bad shape as this one was. So, but we certainly need to look into that.
Yeah, I mean, because the phosphate industry is a huge economic driver in Hillsborough County, and so regulation of that industry is something that is probably kind of controversial at the county level, because they are such a significant economic producer here. So I'll be interested to follow to see, you know, what kind of regulation, what kind of inspections, what kind of follow-up the county puts together to police these phosphate and gypsum companies to enforce more environmental protection. Because as we see, the effects, I mean, they may be irreversible. We don't know.
Absolutely. And the time to look at the other gypsum stacks and phosphate plants that we do have in our county right is now, before there's a crisis and you have to go to the measures of dumping the water in the bay in order to prevent the disaster that might have happened had that wall failed and sent a tidal wave of polluted water across Highway 41 and people's homes.
Into the neighborhoods, yeah. Right. Janet, I see we have a bunch of calls.
Yeah, let's take a call from Amy in St. Petersburg. Amy in St. Petersburg, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
Thanks for taking my call. You know, several things to talk about on this, so I'll try to keep my points short. One thing is that this company that bought that land, that it's my understanding that they actually bought it with the intention of adding more toxic loads to the land. And so it's interesting, you know, why would anybody buy a toxic dump, you know, that's already been abandoned by another company? You'd think it would be, you know, not worth anything. So it's my understanding that they bought it with the intention of actually dumping more toxins that they were contracted to get rid of.
Mariella, do you know anything about that?
Well, she may be referring to the way that they took in the dredge material from Tampa Bay as far as adding more to the stack. But we're never going to be permitted to add more or process more phosphate there. The stack, the Piney Point stack, by the way, is in Manatee County.
Manatee County.
Not okay. Hillsborough County.
Sorry about
and
that.
So those county commissioners are working with the state to look at what to do with what's left in that stack as it continues to fill up with rainwater.
Okay. So for Hillsborough, what it means is that we have a lot of stacks here in Hillsborough, so you want to make sure that we don't have a similar accident like happened in Manatee.
Right.
Correct.
We have a few.
We have a call, a caller from Manatee County, actually, Warren in Manatee County. You're on the air, Warren. What's on your mind?
I was listening to the conversation. I used to earn a living somewhat driving a truck hauling phosphate from the old Wingate mine down here in Manatee County. But my, you know, it's irrelevant. Let's say, what about these commissioners? How much money do they receive from Mosaic for their campaigns? They just voted down here to expand the mine in the pristine land. I mean, that's going to affect Hillsborough. You know, we're all connected, basically. It's all the same thing.
Well, you know what? All that information about what commissioners receive in terms of financial support for their campaigns is a matter of public record. So you can actually check that.
We don't have newspapers anymore.
Yeah, that is a problem. But it is available information.
And what's your take on that, Mariella? Warren mentioned about county commissioners voting to expand.
Okay. Briefly before I lose my train of thought.
Okay.
Because I'm on medication. I just had an operation. So, is there a regional council that oversees phosphate mine expansion? And does the state support this expansion? expansion of phosphate mines in the state. I understand there's a lot of money involved and politics involved, and I think that's our problem.
What do you know, Mariella? Is there a regional organization that monitors the phosphate industry?
No, but there's a very effective citizen group that's kind of based in Manatee County, but is regional. Minnesota 88 has been a great watchdog for the phosphate companies and letting people understand what is going on there and posting billboards along the highways at times, as well as, of course, the Sierra Club.
So thank you for that information. I want to point out that the Piney Point spill is not the only pollution disaster that we've experienced lately. Last year in St. Pete, they released kind of monumental amounts of sewage into our waterways. And just last week, another 1,300 gallons of sewage was released into Smacks Bayou in St. Pete. So while St. Pete is busy cleaning up the tons of dead fish and animal kills resulting from the massive red tide we've had, this other nitrogen-rich sewage spill is still pouring into our waters. And Tampa is not blameless in that regard either. On the July 4th weekend, Tampa spilled some 57,000 gallons of wastewater into the bay right off Bayshore Boulevard. So, Charlie Justice, what's happening over in St. Pete that is causing so much sewage waste to be released into our waters?
Well, I think you should be clear about the dates. The St. Pete had a massive issue back in 2015, and it's had no major spills since then. There are, you know, spills here and there throughout time, but I want to be clear that when people talk about St. Pete's sewage spills, that was back in 2015, before they, again, it's a separate system than the Pinellas County, but they embarked on a $300 million improvement to their utility system, to their sewage and stormwater system. And that's part of what we've helped them with. The county back in 2016, when I was chair, we created this stormwater partnership where we brought all the utilities together. And there's, I think, 18 different providers of water in Pinellas County, cities and a couple of private vendors. And we got together and we have all our engineers and experts together working now, communicating better. Back just again 6-7 years ago, our staff didn't always talk with each other, and we didn't know what each other's resources were, and whether, you know, if you have a city that has an issue and the city right next to them has pump trucks available, but they're not talking to each other, they can't share resources and stand to assist each other. So part of the task force goal was to get the communication better. So that's number one, and that's happening on a monthly basis now. And number two is that we spent Pinellas County, we spent $1 million, part of our BP settlement, on a inflow and infiltration study, which tried to find out where our weak spots in the system were so we could go through and look at where the pipes need to be replaced, where they need to be relined, those kind of things. And we're spending on an average, $15 to $20 million a year, depending on projects, in those issues as far as relining and putting new pipes in because we saw during the stormy season in 2015 so much water was getting into our sewer system through inflow and infiltration and into our pipes. Water that should have been runoff was getting in, and that's what was causing some of the overflow and some of the discharges that the city of St. Pete had.
Well, that seems like some really good modernization of both communication and I guess... you know, hardware.
Yeah, absolutely. The communication is important, so we know what we're doing. But yeah, you've got to put those pipes in, and we're doing that part. We continue to have a fertilizer ban in our rainy season in Pinellas County, as far as trying to reduce the nitrogen runoff from people fertilizing their lawns during the rainy season. That nitrogen load is critical, and that is why. Our work at the estuary program, bringing Pinellas, Hillsborough, Manatee, Pasco, and the cities along in partnership to improve the quality of the bay, to improve seagrass levels. And throughout the 2000s, we saw a dramatic increase in our seagrass production in Tampa Bay. It was the cleanest the water had been in 50 years. So we're very, very proud of years and years of hard work, and that's why it's so frustrating that you can have 20 years of hard work and improvement halted overnight by this horrible thing at Piney Point, dumping all this nitrogen into our bay.
Well, I want to bring in Mariella on that point that you made about the nitrogen runoff from summer fertilizer, because we all know that the nitrogen in the water is one of the things that increases red tide and algae blooms. And Mariella Smith, Hillsborough County Commissioner, you recently proposed a ban on nitrogen fertilizing in the summer months in Hillsborough County, and that's a ban, as we heard from Charlie Justice, that Pinellas and Tampa and many other municipalities already have, and you want it extended to Hillsborough County, which, of course, is the home of Mosaic, which is a phosphate and fertilizer processor and, as we said, a big economic engine in Hillsborough County. So tell us, why is Hillsborough County so far behind on this regulation? Does it have to do with Mosaic being present? And does your proposal have a shot?
I think my proposal has an absolute shot. I was there 11 years ago speaking to the county commission as an environmental activist, as a concerned citizen, with a lot of citizens and scientists, when Pinellas County passed their fertilizer ordinance on the basis of scientific evidence and studies that were done for 2 years prior by the Tampa Bay Estuary Program and the Environmental Protection Commission scientists, who were showing that we could make great strides if we all passed these fertilizer limits. Pinellas County passed it at the time. Hillsborough County did not. And you're right, it was partly because of the lobbying efforts of the fertilizer industry, maybe largely because of that. And they flew in executives from out of town to persuade our county commission not to pass it. But there was also some strong lobbying by the agricultural lobby, even though these kinds of ordinances are state statutorily mandated to exempt agriculture in any way, shape, or form. So it would not touch any kind of farming from community gardens or even a backyard vegetable garden to a large sod farm or strawberry farm. It doesn't impact that at all.
So what does it focus on?
But it's homeowner fertilizing.
Lawns. So your lawn and your flower bed and
your lawns, and it's mostly a limit on the chemical lawn applicators, and so during the rainy season, you would not be able to put that nitrogen in, which is not just in the coastal areas, but even inland. It is running off your yard into the streets, into the gutters, into the little creeks and streams that end up in our rivers and bay.
We've got another bunch of calls on the line, so let's take one right now. We've got Terry in St. Petersburg's been holding a while. Terry in St. Petersburg, you're on the line. What's on your mind?
Oh, good Lord. You've raised so many points now that I'd like to talk about. I don't know where to start. Mariella did get a great characterization of the battle for the fertilizer ordinance. I was chair of the Sierra Club when that fertilizer ordinance was passed, and it was a very hard-fought battle. There was a lot of money against us from the fertilizer industry and the lawn care industry because they made a lot of money fertilizing people's lawns, and they fought hard to stop that. It's always money.
Yeah.
As far as... Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say the lawn issue is an interesting one to me, because I think that we have this idea of what our lawns are supposed to look like. And the reason that people are fertilizing their lawns is they want to have these lush green grass lawns like they had when they were growing up north or when they lived up north. And that's not really what lawns are like in Florida.
No, that's not what lawns are designed for. I don't get it anyway to spend that much time and effort on a crop that you don't even eat.
But, right.
That's just me.
But I think what I'm saying is that I think that we need to change our idea of what a nice lawn looks like the xeriscaping, and we shouldn't be fertilizing our lawns. We shouldn't even need to be doing that, and especially it's...
Most definitely.
Right. And I think Mariella wanted to jump in on that.
I don't think you have to give up the green lawn, actually. And I think Pinellas County for the last 11 years and the city of Tampa for the last 10 years has proved that. People still have lawns. I agree that, you know, zero escaping is a good next step. But in the case of lawns, over the rainy months, you can still fertilize with magnesium and iron that greens up the lawn but does not fertilize the algae, the different kinds of algae that we have.
Right. And if you live in the city of St. Pete and you use reclaimed water, you don't even need to use that nitrogen fertilizer because there's enough in the water. You really don't need it.
Absolutely.
But there's so many. And as far as the sewage issue, we had decades of leadership in St. Pete that didn't want to invest in infrastructure. They didn't want to raise taxes. And this is what happens when you don't invest in infrastructure.
Yeah, we're seeing that nationally, too, aren't we?
And now, yeah, we are absolutely seeing that around the country. We don't want to raise taxes. We don't want to invest in infrastructure. But then it becomes a crisis and gets dumped on the present mayor, or a bridge collapses, or, you know, horrible things happen, and it's an emergency. And it's also a lot more expensive than regular maintenance, you know, on a reasonable schedule. As far as the guy saying he wants to leave Florida, I so get it. I have been working on water issues here for decades, and I feel like I've gotten hardly, basically nowhere. Going up against the state of Florida is like going up against a brick wall. You try to get things done on the county or the city level, and you get some good things done. We certainly have in Pinellas County and St. Pete, but then the state preempts them. We can't even protect our own trees.
Well, we've had decades of Republican leadership at the state level. So what does that tell you?
I was trying to say that. Absolutely. That's my whole point. Yeah.
Okay.
So I feel like I'm losing hope completely. I don't know what to do anymore. I totally get wanting to leave the state because I feel that way sometimes too.
Well, obviously, you know, you agree that the decades of Republican leadership in the state has affected our ability to manage our water challenges.
That would be the understatement of the year.
So, you know, one thing that can be done is an effort to change that leadership. I mean, if you want to change the focus.
I've been doing that for years, too.
Well, we thank you, Terry, and appreciate your call. Let's take another call here. Janet, while we have a chance.
All right. Michael from Fort Myers, you're on the line.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, hi. My name's Michael McGrath. I'm actually an organizer with Sierra Club. And, I just wanted to kind of tease that conversation around, you know, the fertilizer ordinance and, you know, just emphasize and bring this point home that when it rains in Florida, it really pours, right? And that pollution really can get into our waterways. And anytime you're fertilizing your lawn, it contains the nutrients as nitrogen, also phosphorus, and while they're meant to feed your lawn, they end up actually feeding those harmful algae, such as red tide, and create these devastating blooms like you're seeing right now in Tampa Bay. And I just want to emphasize, you know, that, you know, there's these strict rainy season bans for fertilizer ordinance have been, you know, time-tested. You know, they've been proven to be effective across the board for over 14 years now. There's dozens of communities that passed them with strict rainy season bans. Over 15 counties in Florida, over 100 municipalities have passed these sort of rainy season bans, and when you look at Tampa Bay, Hillsborough County really is one of the remaining holdouts. So just would encourage you, Commissioner Smith, and also colleagues on the Board of County Commissioners to, get the job done and also to pass, a strict rainy season ban for Hillsborough County as well. So we might, help to do one thing that's a low-hanging fruit to improve the Bay's water quality and help limit the incidence of these harmful algae in the future. So.
Mariella, do you have a response?
Thank you so much for calling in. And I know you've been working on this a long time, and I'm feeling optimistic that this board can hopefully do what our county commission couldn't do 11 years ago and listen to the scientists instead of the polluters. I want to clear up one thing about the impacts of the fertilizer ordinance. The Piney Point incident is a huge attention-getting disaster with the masses of dead fish and the stinking, rotting going on at the beaches, and glad to see that going. But even before Piney Point, Commissioner Justice was right that we have been progressing in a good direction since we started taking measures 10 years ago and before. In the last 2 years, Tampa Bay has lost 5,411 acres of seagrass. We've lost 13% of our seagrass in the last 2 years. So things have been taking a turn for the worse. And
this is before Piney Point.
From 2018 to 2020. And we've had heavy concentrations of blue-green algae in the lower bay, and we've been exceeding our total minimum daily loads for pollutants in the upper bay for 2 years. And earlier this year, before Piney Point, mats of blue-green algae, different than red tide, but another algae similarly fueled by fertilizer, these mats were choking stretches of Anna Maria Sound, smelling like sewage and irritating the skin of everyone who touched it. So the time is now, Piney Point or no, to do our share in taking some of the low-hanging fruit of these fertilizer ordinances and then moving forward with measures to control stormwater runoff.
I don't know about you, Mariella, or you, Charlie Justice, but, you know, one of my worries is that the next thing that happens is we get a state preemption law that says that the local municipalities can no longer control their own these type of fertilizer restrictions.
Well, if I may, in fact, after Pinellas and Tampa put their restrictions in place, the state did preempt our ability to ban sales. So my motion to the county commission is going to be for a fertilizer application ban, along with the other kinds of little restrictions and rules that these Pinellas and Tampa has. But we can no longer ban sales of the fertilizer during the rainy season the way Tampa and Pinellas can without going to further measures of proving the need for it.
So those were grandfathered in?
Those are grandfathered in.
Yeah, because you can't buy fertilizer right now in Lowe's or Home Depot or anywhere you go in the city of Tampa. You cannot buy it. Thanks for calling in, Michael. We appreciate it. Let's take another call. We have John in Palmetto. John in Palmetto, what's on your mind?
I feel like I'm in another time zone already. I've been on this waiting so long. I would like to help clarify a couple things. I've been reporting 20 years on this. I've been fighting it. Remember the strawberry using all the water? Well, back then, it was really 350 million gallons a day Mosaic was using when it was still in Hillsborough County. It's no longer there. On Piney Point, in 2011, I wrote the whole expose on Piney Point. They've gotten over $40 million invested in that place. And the reason that, it's not an HKR, it's HRK. The reason they scramble that egg and they make sales, it's all contracts that are about as complicated as derivatives. That what they do is they know that there's any problem, they're going to shuffle it through the courts where it's to no end. On the money that comes from Mosaic to put commissioners in, what one thing Mosaic does, it hires a couple of small companies. They've got 40 or 50 different employees. And what they do is they get them to go to the meeting. And they get them to contribute to why Mosaic overpays them. Mosaic doesn't have a product, yet they have commercials. They're selling themselves. And as far as the county commissioners go, in Manatee and Hillsborough especially, because that's where most of the mines are in, it's called the Burt Harris Act. They purchase a piece of property, and they let them in an exploratory form, and then they get a couple more approvals, and then they threaten to sue the county if, in fact, they can't do what they want to do. But the county is more than willing, in Hillsborough and Manatee, to go ahead and play the little game and act like they're fighting for the people. But, you know, you can find out which ones belong as the county seat and not. And that's anybody who votes any kind of fertilizer in at all should be gone because they've known. I mean, if you want to look back, go back to the Alfi River. Remember that? Millions of fish right there off of 301 and 41. Remember? That killed the fish in the same way. And for DeSantis to say there was no storm then, you know. So there is an example that shows you just what happens there. And let's see, what was another misnomer here? This is a big one. Please, please quit buying in to this fertilizer ordinance. Everybody acts like they've gained something, but you just mentioned that the seagrass is getting worse. Everywhere it's like that. I've been involved in it for 20 years. But you know what happened? They make you think you passed something that helps. But what they did, when they first started passing those, there was a soaring. It's called time-release fertilizer. And it really is worse, because what happens is that those nitrogen tab, or little balls and things are covered with polymers, time-release polymers.
Okay, John, let's let Mariella respond to some of your points.
Yeah,
John, let's give her a chance to respond to you.
Thanks for calling in, John.
The ordinances that Pinellas and Tampa has that I'm hoping to mirror in Hillsborough County do insist that any nitrogen fertilizer that is applied during the period that it's allowed is contains at least 50% time release fertilizer. So that's a great point of, you know, some of the nuanced limits that we can put in there. But at the time these rules were passed, it was assessed by the scientists that Hillsborough could reduce our pollution into the bay, our nitrogen load, by 4.5 tons by doing our share of this fertilizer ordinance and matching our neighbor's fertilizer ordinance. You know, it's just a no-brainer. It's much cheaper and easier to prevent pollution from entering the bay in the first place than it is to clean up the bay after the damage is done. Now, you know, there are many pieces to this puzzle. Fertilizer ordinances is one large contributor to nitrogen that we can control, but there's certainly the other ones.
We have an email from Andrew Wilson on this topic, and he says, there's this thing called compost. Yard owners want neat, easy, pelletized fertilizer. It's hilarious to see them bagging the yard clippings for pickup and putting down fertilizer to replace what they're throwing away, which is a really good point. And you can learn how to do composting if you, through any of your county extension services. You can get a compost bin and learn how to do it, and it's a great way to dispose of your, not just your yard waste, but your kitchen waste, and make your own fertilizer and great soil for your yard. So thanks for the email, Andrew.
That's right. So, Mariella, another point that I wanted to raise around the water issue is you've been a longtime advocate for reducing sprawl development, particularly in South Hillsborough County. And lately, there have been some serious water pressure problems in South County. People turn on their taps and they get just a trickle. South Hillsborough County listeners, if you have had these problems, call in and or email us and let us hear about your experience, because Marielle is here and I know that she is trying to do something about that. Let us let you join the conversation at 813-239-9663 or email us to dj@wmnf.org. So Mariella Smith, Hillsborough County Commissioner, you recently gave a presentation on this issue to the Hillsborough County Commission. What's going on down there with the water pressure, and how did these problems arise, and what's being done about it now?
Thank you. I have been trying to sound the alarm ever since I saw a little slide go by at my Tampa Bay Water meeting saying, showing the supply and demand beginning to meet each other. In other words, the demand has been for water has been growing so quick in South Hillsborough County that it was unpredicted in the models of demand, and our supply is in danger of not meeting the projected demands if we're not very, very careful. We will be providing the infrastructure to meet those demands, but there is planned booster stations and pipelines that take a long time to build and put in place. So by 2024, we're going to have a big batch of infrastructure coming online, and then 2028, we're going to have another supply project coming online. But in the interim, we're in a tricky situation where the demand has grown faster than the supply because of sprawl. Sprawl has been outstripping our infrastructure in several ways. Water is just one of them, but overcrowding our roads, overcrowding our schools, and stretching our fire rescue resources too far, too thin. It started in Keystone area. There was a lot of that going on in the north of the county, and now it's moved to the south. And we just have to do a much better job of planning smart growth and focusing our growth where the infrastructure is rather than letting it sprawl out where we have to keep playing catch up with the infrastructure.
Now, isn't that part of the reason why you've proposed a moratorium on development in certain areas in South County? And actually, I think that's passed, right?
We have had a moratorium in areas east of Waimama and Balm in the southeast corner of Hillsborough County. Not a moratorium on development, but a moratorium on adding any density, increasing your density by rezoning the land for about a year. That's about to come to an end while we put in place some stronger, better plans for those communities of Balm and Waimama that were getting inundated. With the water issue...
That's a pun, right? Inundated?
Inundated. With the water issue, we are, you know, trying to get the data to make sure that we understand what is needed to be done, because a moratorium is a pretty heavy lift and it's a pretty radical thing. But the last land use hearing, I voted no on a further increase in density inside the urban service area in the South County, saying not until we have more data, not until we understand that this is not going to further impact the citizens who are already there. Further lower their pressure. It's not just their water pressure in their sink. It's, as you say, that can be dangerous, but it's water pressure in the fire hydrants that could stop working. It's water pressure in restaurants and stores everywhere south of the Alafaya. So it's a huge problem that we need to make sure we don't cross that line any further. People in South County are already on additional water restrictions and having these low pressure issues. We cannot let it get any worse.
So are they doing anything about it? What are they doing to address that issue beyond just building the infrastructure that'll come online in 2024 and 2028? Are there steps that are being taken to make sure you stay ahead?
To make sure that our projections are more accurate than they have been, because our projections were wrong of how much growth and demand there would be on the water. And I have also asked that we change, and we're in the process right now of changing the process by which we assess and review every single zoning that comes in with more accurate, specific information from our water utilities professionals that this project will or will not have negative impacts on the people that are already there before we approve it.
So that's not part of the decision-making process now to determine whether or not there's the infrastructure to provide the water to these new developments?
Great question. We are state statutorily mandated to provide water concurrently with development, but our process where we are nominally supposed to be reserving capacity at various checkpoints has failed. Given, as you can see from the fact that people south of the LFI are on very strict water restrictions, more than any other place in the county, and their water pressure is getting really, really low.
So it's a little bit backwards. The development comes in, and you're required to provide them water infrastructure. You can't say this: we don't have the water infrastructure, you can't build at this point.
Well, that's what they've done with the moratorium.
Well, not that moratorium, but that's where I'm headed, is making sure that we have that information before we say you can or can't increase your density.
Well, and of course, it's a very practical problem, because if we don't have enough water pressure for the people who are already there, they're going to be under a boil water notice more often than they are now. They're going to have to be boiling their water for drinking like pioneer days.
If the water pressure drops too quickly, too low. Now, we have been putting emergency methods in place, so hoping to head that off.
All right. Well, WMNF listeners, you've been listening to Midpoint with me, Shelley Reback, and Janet Scherberger on WMNF Tampa. Our guests today were Pinellas County Commissioner Charlie Justice and Hillsborough County Commissioner Mariella Smith. We've been talking about water issues and challenges. If you missed the full show, you can now find it as a podcast episode on WMNF app. Thanks to Mariella and Charlie for being with us today. Thanks to Patty Perkey for answering the phones. And thanks to you, our listeners, for your calls and comments and your support of WMNF. Please join Janet and me for Midpoint every Wednesday at 10 a.m. for your midweek, mid-morning dose of news and public affairs from a local perspective. Now stay tuned for Talking Animals with Duncan Strauss.